doesn't like flowers? I know I love them, and I know Noe Tanigawa loves them too.
I know you do, Catalin. That's why I couldn't wait to bring you this story. We've both struggled with the foliage out in the hallway right here recently. But well, this week people are going to be seeing some flashy ikebana in this town. You know, Hiroki Ohara, headmaster of the Ohara School of Ikebana, is coming to town, and all of his events are sold out. And this is the same thing that happened a few years ago when Sogetsu School had their 50th anniversary. I tell you, ikebana is really big in this town.
Well, it's so beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, you know, but you just think, what does it take to make this stuff? How hard is it? I mean, what makes a good one and what makes a not so good one? I mean, that's really what I wanted to find out from some of these people here. You know, ikebana, also called kado, is floral design with sort of a tea ceremony aesthetic. And I was so lucky to get to talk with some students of ikebana. One of them, Grace Sekimitsu, I think it was, who said that what they're going for is a naturalistic rather than an artistic look. And what's amazing is when you sit and talk to these students, you know, there are just little clips that a master can do that will actually make a branch look more natural. I mean, it's kind of crazy. So this is the kind of thing that happens. But you have to start with, of course, the plant material. So I want to know how they choose this stuff. So I arranged to meet an ikebana sensei here, Sensei Edith Tanaka, at a very large, in fact, the largest flower emporium in Honolulu, because I thought, let's go in here. I want to see how she looks at stuff, and let's choose our flowers. She bypassed all the flowers and started looking at all the shrubbery, the leaves, the breath, and there was really nothing that she could choose.
Really?
Nothing. Zero. And you know what that place is like.
Yes.
It's like giant, big lockers. You're mm-hmm. in this way. No, there was nothing. She did get some small fern, Ming fern, and she just, for fun, got a bouquet of snapdragons. And I was really interested to watch how she chose those snapdragons out of all the dozens and dozens of flowers there. She chose these simply because they were the freshest in the store. And she could tell that by the buds that were left. So when you're out there buying flowers for your house, she says you want them to last at least 5 days. You have to be sure that there are a couple of open flowers, but buds all along the stem that are your future flowers. So that's how you go out and get the original stuff. But nothing there fit for the arrangement she wanted to do. So we headed back to her yard in Manoa. And it was really fascinating to watch her go through the garden. I mean, it's, you know, a Manoa yard. You can grow all kinds of stuff in there. And to just watch her looking at all the different kinds of plants and talking about them was wonderful. And we got onto the topic of how to preserve flowers and leaves once you've cut them. Now, this is where some of these ladies had some really cool ideas. I asked the students for some tips on this, and Susie Yi was there, Grace Sekimitsu, Betty Ueda, and Janice Lau.
Oh, yeah, quick dip.
Yeah, what's a quick dip?
Oh, it prolongs the life of the flower.
Really?
It really works.
But since it has some really interesting things, too, like if you have a reed, you actually pound it. She has a hammer out there, and she pounds the end and then hydrates it.
Alcohol works too to prolong the
certain
materials.
Yes. Dip the end in that.
Mm-hmm.
Sake.
Yeah.
I guess really? Basically it's alcohol.
And then the smaller, thinner bamboo, you can use vinegar or sake.
For some flowers, like I think rose, you would wrap the flower and the leaves in newspaper and you burn the end and then plunge it in water. And that helps for the water
moving
to go up and also for the flower to keep looking fresh.
The chrysanthemums, you yes. wet the leaves, not the flower.
The back of the leaves.
The back of the leaves, yeah.
Oh, really? But I think the important thing is to clean the branches.
What she means by that is you don't want leaves below the waterline. You know, you get all these mm-hmm. extra leaves off because the plant's going to be trying to feed these leaves while the arrangement's sitting there, and you don't want it to work harder than it has to, for one thing, right?
but sake and burning the ends.
Burning the ends of your rose, and another thing the sensei said, it truly does make a difference to snip the ends underwater. cut the ends of everything underwater. And she said it honestly makes a noticeable difference in the flowers. Vases are tremendously important, of course. And Ohara School invented the use of those low, shallow vases, you know, that you see so often in ikebana. Have you ever worked with a frog? It's
yes.
called a kenzan.
Yes, I have one.
You know, those are kind of tricky, right, unless you know about them. They're just like the, how would you describe it?
It's, I don't know. They're pokey.
Yeah. They're like a little tiny bed of nails, right? They're very heavy. They go down in the bottom of these things, and the water covers it. And then you can stick the stems of flowers, you know, branches in there, and they will stick at the craziest angles, exactly what you want. So we had a little branch of coquet plum. We had some of this Ming fern. And Sensei Tanaka sat down to work.
And you're thinking, what are you thinking?
Nothing. Because if I think, might be, you know.
She's feeling it, huh?
Huh?
Are you feeling it?
No, I'm just, you know, looking at the branches and then feeling how the branches would like to go. You know, so listen to them. Mm-hmm. Instead of myself telling them what to do. If you're teaching ikebana, you have to know why are you doing this, you know, and it goes beyond just logic, you know.
So what is it teaching about? What are you learning when you learn?
Well, actually, you're trying to lose yourself. You know, concentrating so deeply in what you're doing that you're no longer yourself, but you become one with the flower.
That's what these students said they love, is that time with the plants and then having something to take home that they are going to enjoy for the rest of the week. Pretty
so
cool.
You just kind of zone out while you're...
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, there are rules, you know, making a triangle, mm-hmm. the secondary object and the subject and so on. But they take liberties. And, you know, contemporary ikebana, they're putting in plastic, rubber, ribbons, tinsel, glass, everything else. And, you know, that's what people are going to see when this master comes to town. They're heading up to Lion Arboretum today, probably to pick giant branches of stuff. But with Tanaka Sensei's demonstration, the goal was to bring out the natural characteristics of the plant. And I think that's something that we can all attempt to do right off.
Yes, I know.
With the stuff in our garden.
Right, right. Okay, well, you and I will work on that.
Yeah,
right?
Let's. Okay. It's fun.
Yeah, thanks so much, Noe.
Thank you, Kathy.
That was HPR's Noe Tanigawa giving us a fresh look at flower arranging.